just want to introduce what we're going to be just enjoying this year, studying this year, and growing together in this year. And it's a praying life. So you've seen the announcement maybe in the bulletin or at church. But this is the book that we'll be using. It's called A Praying Life by Paul Miller. So if you're able to get the book, I think it's like $22 on Amazon. It's like three Starbucks coffees now, right? Yeah. Or on eBay. There you go. Oh, wow. Okay, $5 or $6. Okay. But if you can't get it, please still come. We are just going to enjoy growing in this together. Such a blessing, a massive blessing as a believer to have prayer. And so we want to grow in this as ladies. So I'm sure it's busy. Some of the times we come together, we'll be doing a devotional. So I'll be doing now a devotional together. Other times we'll even have a Q&A of a panel of ladies here that can talk about prayer life in such a busy life at different stages in life. We'll have some ladies at our church that can share testimonies, maybe as they walk through a particular time in life and how prayer was such a blessing to them or how they grew in their prayer life during those times. So we're going to do some of those different things. And like I mentioned as well, hearing from our missionary ladies and being able to pray for them. And then if you have time to read this book, it's such a big book and we only meet once a month, so we can't, you know, teach chapter by chapter, but you'll see there's sections in this book that we'll be going through. But Paul Miller, he starts off by saying in this book that the hardest place in the world to pray is American culture. And he says on page 3, he says, we are so busy that when we slow down to pray, we find it uncomfortable. We prize accomplishments, production, but prayer is nothing but talking to God, so it feels useless, as if we're wasting time and every bone in our body screams, get to work. When we aren't working, we're used to being entertained. Television, internet, video games, cell phones make free time as busy as work. And when we slow down, we slip into a stupor. Exhausted by the pace of life, we veg out in front of a screen or with earplugs. Everywhere we go, we hear background noise, and if the noise isn't provided for us, we can bring it on our own via iPod. I guess that's when he wrote the book. Now we've moved forward. Those earbuds, right? Is that what you call them? Yeah. But he reminds us, as a child of God, that learning to pray as we're growing in our prayer life doesn't offer you a less busy life, but it offers you a less busy heart. And I like that, because sometimes you're like, I don't have time, I can't find time. But it's not about that. So it's not going to offer us a less busy life, but a less busy heart. And number 2 reason he says that it's the hardest place in the world to pray is the American culture, is that we are a culture that's very competent and don't think of needing God's help. We're I got this culture. He says at the top of page 4, the very beginning of his book, he says, we prize intellect, competency, and wealth. Because we can do life without God, praying seems nice but unnecessary. Money can do what prayer does, and it's quicker and less time-consuming. Our trust in ourselves and in our talents makes us structurally independent of God, and as a result, exhortations to pray don't stick. And that's all true. Another one that I was thinking that is a hindrance to pray here in the American culture is there's a mystery in it, in praying. And we don't like that, really, in the American culture. So we end up having lots of questions like, does it really change things? Does God really hear? How necessary is it really? But our God, we know any doctrine we study about God is incomprehensible. So it's no surprise that even when we come to talking about praying, we are finite creatures praying to an infinite God, that we're going to be left at some point with a sense of awe and a mystery in it. I know our little sweet, I won't say her name back there, is 2. And so she, I had said something about, oh, God is going to make that better, an owie that she had. And she said, where's God? Is he outside? And I said, he is, and he's inside. And at the same time, there was like a noise in the dining room, and she was like, oh, what was that? you know. So I was like, no, it's okay. I know it's hard. It's a mystery, but it shouldn't confuse us or scare us. We have to be fine with every doctrine of God when you start studying and getting deeper. There's a mystery to there. But we are busy. We need God's help. And we have to find joy in the mysteries that we have in our God. We can't let things hinder our prayer life because God has designed us and he's planned for our utmost joy in our lives as believers to depend on him with an unending communion with him, a constant connection with him. And when we're not doing this, we will look just a lot like the world around us. We'll find ourselves, so you can think as ladies, we can find ourselves overwhelmed, hurried, in a stressful state, depressed about the past, fearful about the future. And we don't want to live like that, and we don't have to live like that. We have truth. We hear a lot of truth here at CBC every week and hopefully every day. We are in God's word. And then another hindrance, John MacArthur says, even as believers in a church where we're hearing lots of truth, he says there is a real danger that Christians who have a knowledge of doctrine and an effective understanding of their resources and spiritual principles can become satisfied, and so satisfied that the heart-rending, passionate, constant prayer has no place or very little, and that is sin. So not only are we in an American culture, many of us have been in the church long enough that we can end up not thinking to pray, if we're honest, because we know so much about God. So we can be like, oh, but God is sovereign. Or, oh, it's okay, he's going to work all things together for good. And those are so true. We should think those, and we should say those, but those truths shouldn't be just here. If those truths are here, those truths should make us pray. Those should make us be prayer. Women who pray, not just spewing the doctrines and the truth that we know. Does that make sense, what John MacArthur was saying there? How's there's that danger? I can see that. So we're going to talk about many things this year regarding prayer. In Paul Miller's book, this is just the introduction. So I'm just really going to be talking now, just so we can get a baseline, what is prayer? But he's going to talk about how to pray dependently. He calls it how to pray like a child. We're going to have a devotional learning how to ask, so that petition in our prayers. he talks about unanswered prayer, and we're going to even tag on to that, like lamenting in prayer, remembering. I think he really talks about remembering that we're in God's story. And then we are going to have some time where we really can talk about the specifics on how to pray in real life, what that has to look like, not boxes that we tick, but how a praying life really plays out practically. So today we're just going to do an introduction. What is prayer? And so maybe I thought a good way to start could be like, what's the opposite of prayer? We could say not praying, I guess. But when you're not praying, there is usually something that's replacing that. So the opposite of prayer, even scripture tells us, is worry or anxiety. In Philippians 4, 1 through 8 says, be anxious for nothing but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So the opposite of worrying would be prayer. Josh has often said, worrying is praying to yourself. We're to be ladies who are praying to our Father. So we'll keep going. Prayer, we really, even if you didn't grow up in the church, you see a lot and hear a lot about prayer just in the world. You see it on TV, sporting events, school events, I don't know so much anymore, graduations, at funerals, at weddings. If you grew up in the church, definitely at the church. If you grew up in a Christian family, definitely in your family. But also, no matter what country you travel to or what culture you're in, that country, that culture prays to someone or to something, right? It's so interesting when you think about all the different countries and cultures there are, there is usually something, an idol, or an idea like Africa, like the ancestors, that everyone is praying to something or to someone. I grew up praying in a Christian home, and I had a real routine. So obviously before meals, and even the supper meal together, we would hold hands and say the prayer all together, and then before bedtime. So that was my routine before bedtime. That is when I prayed, and I remember growing up all the way through high school. I had my same list that I started with and went all the way through before bedtime, and would even sometimes fall asleep praying. So that was my routine. But I remember one summer, it was my first summer home from college, so I was 19. And that was a summer that really woke me up that God was definitely not at the center of my life. And it came down to what I realized in terms of my prayer life. But I came home that summer. My older brother had gotten married, so he stayed in California. I went home to Alaska to work. I had a younger brother, but at that time, that specific week, he had broken his arm very bad. So my dad had to drive with him to Anchorage, which was 4 hours away. And so I was just home with my mom, who had done something to her back, very painful. So I went to work, came home from work, and I found my mom lying in the middle of the living room floor and literally could not move. So I called for the ambulance. They took her to the hospital there, and we're gonna medevac her to Anchorage. So I remember sitting at the dining room table and being like, I have no one to talk to. I have no one to talk to right now. My brother's in California, my mom's in the hospital, my dad's in Anchorage with my little brother. I literally have no one to talk to. This is before cell phones. But I literally had no one to talk to, and it's in Alaska. But that was a moment for me, so I was like, what am I thinking? Like, I have spent my whole life, I had a routine, prayed before bedtime, but any other time in my life growing up, anything that would come up, good or bad, I would go to my mom, I would go to my dad, I would go to my brother. Didn't have very many godly friends in high school, but that is who I went to, and it was such a wake-up call for me that I'm like, what? God is not at the center of my life. And I grew up in a Christian home, and I went to church, and I was at a Bible college, and so that was a moment that woke me up just to get to know God more, enjoy God more, that I can talk to him at any time. So Paul Miller, even in this book, he starts by making sure we know, he quotes, we can't work on prayer as an isolated part of life. He says that would be like going to the gym and working out just your left arm. You'd have a strong left arm, but it would look odd, he says. He goes on to say that many people's frustrations with prayer come from working on prayer as a discipline in the abstract. And we should have times of focused prayer. We're going to talk about that too. but a praying life is more than that. So we want to turn to Scripture. So I was thinking of doing an introduction on prayer. Obviously want to turn to Scripture. So I just spent the month just kind of surveying and seeing where there's prayer in Scripture, and of course it's way more than what I would have time to study or to see. But surveying quickly the Old Testament, we can look at who prayed. We have Abraham to Hagar to Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua to Hannah to Deborah to Esther, David, Hezekiah, Jonah, Daniel, Job, Ezra, Jeremiah, Nehemiah, Elisha, Isaiah, Malachi, and that's just to name a few. And then we go to the New Testament, and we have everyone from Mary to John the Baptist, Jesus, of course. We have the tax collector, Stephen, Jude, Jesus' apostles, and then the one we hear the most praying in New Testament, Paul. So it's clear. That was a very quick look through the Bible. It is clear the people of God did what? They prayed, and so one today. If you are a child, excuse me, if you're a child of God, you should be praying. So then further looking through the Bible, where did we see people pray? Many places, to name a few, on a mountain, in a wilderness, in a tent, in a belly of a fish, deep pit, in a palace, a battlefield, a garden, a temple, a cross, the thief on the cross, the upper room at his own execution, Stephen, a rooftop, riverside, a seashore, a ship, a bedside, and again, that is just to name a few. So one, if we're a child of God, we should be praying. Scripture makes that clear. And two, we can say we can pray to God anywhere. I can, in 2007, it's a huge, we moved to South Africa. So this was really huge. And we had lots of comments. People were like, oh, South Africa, that's not a very safe country. Are you scared to move there? And we would be like, oh, man, the same God that's here is there. And we do know there's a higher crime rate. But just after about a month there, Josh spoke at a conference in Johannesburg, which is a bigger city than where we were. And then after the conference, we went to a pizza place. And I was 7 months pregnant with Bailey and really excited about cheese pizza with tomatoes. I was really craving tomatoes when I was pregnant with Bailey. 7 months, and we had put our order in. And then as we were waiting, there was a huge bang. And guys came in the restaurant armed with guns. And I grabbed, no, I first actually started to run. I remember taking two steps, just like default. And then I'm like, what am I doing? I have children, you know? And then so I grabbed Cambria. Josh grabbed Caitlin, and my sister-in-law grabbed McKenna, and we were hiding under the table and watching guys walk by with these guns, and Cameron's like, please don't let them take me, please don't let them take me, they're just so little, and it's like, I promise we won't let them take you, they're just going to come, they're going to take our money, you know, and I can't even tell you how, I am still to this day so disappointed in myself. So behind me, I hear Josh's sister, who has McKenna. And I hear her be like, dear Heavenly Father. And I'm like, that is a great idea. I should pray. I am like so disappointed in myself. I'm like, how many people are in armed robberies, you know? And it's like, this is like, why would I not? You like think of the most intense thing in your life. You're like, I definitely would think to pray. And I was like, what? I'm still so disappointed. But anywhere we are, we can pray. And you want to be someone. I want to be someone wherever I am, no matter what's happening, that I pray, that I pray. So if you're a child of God, and we were fine, actually, I should always start stories, and then people are like, what happened? They actually did not, we were the only table, as far as like that, they didn't come to take our purses or wallets. We could, there was tablecloths, so we could see them walk and take from theirs, and they never came to ours and left, but I still didn't get my cheese pizza with tomatoes, because they closed, and we had to go home. So if you're a child of God, you should be praying, and we can pray anywhere. And then three, the Bible does show us many places what to pray, what we saw these people pray. I just selected three others. So David shows us, of course, our Savior Jesus, and also Paul all throughout the New Testament. So David in the Psalms is consistently praising God for who he is, what he's done, and even what he will do. Even times we'll see David, he'll start off a psalm by kind of like complaining maybe or begging, and then he ends the psalm by praising. We see David in these psalms not just abstract doctrine, but he's praying about specific things. He prays everything from created me a clean heart, O God, to just the other day I read one, he wrote, you know, pull out all their teeth and send them to Sheol so they never see the sun again. We don't have a praise song about that. I don't know why. But so specific. Like, he really prays specific things. So sometimes we can think, how specific, you know, do I need to pray? He prays specific things, even in the Psalms. And then, so we could say David has a praying life. So if you want to see how someone prays, you could enjoy going through Psalms every day. Jesus tells us in Matthew 6, we know, right, how to pray and what prayer looks like. He says, pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You could probably all say it with me, right? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so we can see just in this prayer of Jesus that he shows us a lot about who God is and a lot about who we are. So prayer does just that. This prayer reminds us just a few things, that we're a child of God away from home, because we're saying our Father who is in heaven, that we're a worshiper, We're saying his name be honored. We're a subject. We're talking about your kingdom come. We're a servant when we say your will be done. We're beggars. Give us this day our daily bread. He's our provider. We're sinners. We're praying, forgive us our debts. And we are also in danger of being bigger sinners. Lead us not into temptation. But we want to pray to God the Father as Jesus himself taught us to pray, and he regularly modeled in his own prayer life. Jesus, even as God, had a praying life and was in constant communion with his Father. And it really is a huge thing, prayer. It's fun to, Josh is taking class right now on the Trinity. So most of the time, in my mind, I just am like, wow, because I can't, it just goes beyond what my mind is able to understand. But when it comes to prayer, we think through Jesus' redemptive work on the cross, that we're able to come before the throne of God confidently, like to think about how much God has done so that we can pray. We come before the throne of grace through Jesus, and then plus by the help of the Holy Spirit. So when we bow our heads to pray, we're coming before the throne of God through Jesus. He's there interceding for us with the help of the Holy Spirit. It's like a Trinitarian experience. You know, it's not a little thing. So even the littlest detail we pray, it's like we're entering in with the Trinity talking to God. And so that is just so cool. So we can remind ourselves, okay, if I ever think God doesn't hear me, I'm wrong. If I ever think I don't know that I matter to him, do you realize what God has done so we can pray to him? That is not true. If I ever think, oh, I'm not worthy, Jesus is literally constantly interceding for us. So that thought I have is not true. If I ever think, oh, I just can't do it, I just can't find time, I don't know what to say, we have the Holy Spirit giving us the strength. So that also, we are wrong if we're thinking that truth. So we have an example of, if you wanted to stir up your prayer life, looking at David's prayer life, looking at the example that Jesus gave us and told us. And then another example we could look at is Paul in the New Testament. Paul had a praying life. We know Paul talks serious doctrine in his books and in his prayers. Looking just quickly, too, through some of his prayers, he thanks God for his past plan and past salvation. He thanks God for our future hope. He thanks God for the fruit he sees in others. He thanks God. He prays for strength against temptation. He prays for boldness to proclaim the truth. He prays to live a life worthy of our calling. He prays for specific people in his prayers. He even prays for specifically be able to go see them. He prays for the peace of God to keep their hearts and their minds filled. So if we're a child of God, we should be praying. We can pray anywhere, and we can pray about anything and everything. Just looking at David's life, Jesus' example, and Paul's praying life, we see that. In Ephesians 6:18, Paul says we're to be praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And John Piper says about that verse, Ephesians 6:18, he says that tells us that prayer is, so if we're laying a foundation for the year, what is prayer? It's a constant conversation with our Father. So if you ever can take time, you know, to read Paul's letters, this is just supposed to be a devotional, so I couldn't go in depth even in one of them, but you'll see him talking about great truths and doctrines of God, of who God is and who we are in Christ and what he's done for us and what he's going to do for us. And then all of a sudden he starts praying. It's like he can't help. He starts talking about what God's done to people. It just stirs up this joy into him, and he just lifts out in praise or petition or thankfulness as he's talking to his readers. So if you're reading through Ephesians, he's writing to the Ephesians, and he breaks out in prayer in chapter 1 and in chapter 3 and in chapter 6. In Colossians 4 times, in 1 Thessalonians, he breaks out in prayer in chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3 twice and chapter 5. The same in 2 Thessalonians and 1 and 2 Timothy. So that was a really also just a quick read through wherever I could see like prayer or hymn to try to highlight in my Bible. And that is very fun to read Paul's letters and see how he writes. So that's also a fun thing that you could do to stir up your hearts and see what a praying life looks like. So if you're a child of God, your life should be marked by prayer, and this is a constant conversation with God wherever you are at any time about anything and everything. So better, that's just my definition, but John Bunyan says it beautifully. Prayer is a sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of the heart or soul to God through Christ in the strength and assistance of the Holy Spirit. So a very similar answer to what is prayer is also, if you've ever heard of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. So this is theologians like 350 years ago got together and they put together a series of questions about doctrines, about God, and answers. And one article says, the catechism has been acknowledged by many to be the most accurate summary of the Christian faith ever produced. Its simple question and answer format lends itself to easy memorization, yet the amount of biblical truth packed into it is nothing short of astounding. So by memorizing the catechism, a person absorbs into his thinking simple biblical answers to the most important questions of the Christian faith. So if you haven't ever checked that out, Westminster Shorter Catechism. But question number 98 out of 107 is, what is prayer? And the answer, prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will, in the name of Christ, with confession of our sins, and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. And so prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will in the name of Christ, with confession of our sins, and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. So I read that, I'm thinking, what is the key word there? Because the offering up of our desires, there's confession of sin, there's thankful acknowledgement of mercies, and I know this is really silly, but so I just was thinking about my day, so I'm just trying to think what is the main ingredient there in that definition, what is prayer? So again, this is silly, but I'm thinking, oh yeah, during the day I have asked things, like cooking, I'll be like, please don't boil over. Please, 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 please don't boil over. You know, but I'm talking to a pot. Or there's like on the freeway, there's confession. I will be like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, sorry. I need it in. I'm sorry. I know I'm going too fast. I'm talking to the car that doesn't hear me next to me. Or I can be thanking, like carrying my coffee and I bump my elbow on the doorway and be like, thank you for not spilling. Talking to my coffee. So I'm thinking there is a lot of my day, you know, like it's talking to yourself. So I'm thinking of this definition that there is a main ingredient to like that definition of the asking, the confession, the thankfulness. And that is unto God. So the center, we can even think back of David's prayers, the center of Paul's prayers, the center of Jesus' prayers was God. And that's what makes all the difference, and that's what makes Christians different than any other culture. Like we talk about country or culture that we go to and you see what they pray to. We are praying to the God of the universe in the name of Christ with the help of the Spirit. We are living not with ourselves at the center of our life. We are living with God at the center of our lives. And if God is at the center of our life, at the center of our day, at the center of our requests and our trials and our praise, then we will have a praying life. And one that will, of course, like everything, keep growing in until heaven. But if I'm at the center of my day, if I'm at the center of my requests, I'm at the center of my trials, I will complain, I will worry, I will be impatient, I will feel not worthy, I will be discontent, and I won't think to pray. So even as we go about our days practically, not just to have an abstract idea, what is prayer? Let's memorize. The reason for memorizing is so you can meditate And so you want to think about, what is that? You're praying unto God. So as you're going about your day, you're worrying, you're fretting, you're thinking, okay, no, I've somehow put myself at the center of this moment, and how can I get where God is at the center of this moment? So this is a neat illustration that John MacArthur has in a sermon that he preached on prayer from Ephesians. But he says, prayer is the Christian's breath. It's easy to breathe because God has designed you. God has designed you so that air has pressure. That pressure is exerted into against your lungs, and it's easier to breathe than not to breathe. If you hold your breath, that's challenging. That's hard. You can't do it for that long because pressured air wants to enter your lungs. It seeks to enter. It's more difficult to hold your breath than it is to breathe, by far. The same is true with prayer, he says. You shouldn't be having to work to pray. It should be the most natural expression of your spiritual lungs to commune with God, to let him into every thought, every conversation, everything in your life. That is really the spiritual thing to do, to breathe in the sense that you're communing with God. And if you're not regularly and faithfully in prayer, you're struggling against your own spiritual nature. You're trying to hold your spiritual breath, and that will stop the power, he says, and cause for prayerlessness is always the same. The cause for prayerlessness is always the same. He says, it's sin, it's selfishness. So we can say, like we said before, it's having that me-centered life. And so our prayer this year as women is to, we want God at the center. We want God at the center of our lives. I was telling Josh, you know, you can meditate on a truth of God, and you can't help but pray and commune with him throughout the day. And it's more, talking to God is more real than getting together with your sister across the table for like coffee and you're sharing life and talking. It is more real than that. You're talking to someone who knows everything about you, every thought. Before you were even formed, he planned your days. It is more real than sitting across with a dear friend where you feel like, oh, I know the next thing they're going to say. It's more real than that. And so that's my prayer for us this year, that will be true as we commune with the Lord. Paul Miller reminds us in this book that as we get to know our Heavenly Father, we'll get to know our own heart as well. He says, prayer will change you. And that is true. So you think, you have a prayer request. Maybe you've been asking the Lord for something for a long time, and you can think, I've been asking so long. Like, I've really been asking. And then you remind yourself, who are you asking? And then you remind yourself, I'm asking God. Who is God? Who is God that you're asking? You're asking God. Who is he? So if you can't get past that question and have something to say, then you need to. You need to have something to say because that's going to help you even have joy as you're waiting. It's going to help you not stop praying. If you find yourself like feeling guilty, unworthy, like I have asked for forgiveness so many times, you're thinking of this thing, I still just feel so unworthy. I feel so guilty. And then you can say to yourself, okay, who have you asked for forgiveness to? And you're like, oh, unto God. Who is God? What does he say about forgiveness? What kind of father is he? How can you, why would you feel unworthy? What does he say? He's cast your sin as far as the east is from the west. He's a father who is gracious and merciful. You could read a whole book on what that means, the grace of God, the mercy of God. Study those attributes to get your heart warmed up. You can be like, I'm trying to be thankful. I just am lacking joy, but I'm trying to make a list of all the things I'm thankful for so that I can find joy. And be like, oh, who are you thanking? And we can tell ourselves, oh, I'm praising unto God. Who is God? And then you start, okay, I'm going to go in the Psalms and write down some attributes of God. Take one of those and think about for a whole week. You can do a word search. You could do on that attribute. You could find a book on that attribute. And then you'd be like, wow. So I don't know if that makes sense, but it's just like if God is at the center, if God is becoming so big to you when you're praying, You're like, I have requests I'm praying. I'm asking for forgiveness. I'm praising him. But the key ingredient is like onto God, and it's not going to make a difference if you don't know what that is, if you're not taking time to meditate on who God is, to stir your heart up, to get it from here onto God, who's on the throne, but to hear like onto God, my Father, who knows me. So on page 8, I just want to read something here that Paul Miller says, and just to end this devotional. Consequently, he said, prayer is not the center of this book. He said, getting to know a person, God, is at the center. So I just, practically, a few things that you could do, I was thinking, is to have an empty paper that you have in your Bible. In the middle of your paper, you can write God. As you're doing your devotions, so if I have 2 minutes in the morning, sometimes I have 20 minutes or not, but I start with a psalm and then go to my, but even just in psalm, if you have a piece of paper, God in the middle, anytime something's mentioned in your reading about God, maybe an attribute of God, maybe something he's done, something he's going to do, write it around that and just fill up this paper, both sides. And choose one thing that you're going to meditate on throughout the day. This was a really busy week for me. My dad was in the hospital from a terrible fall and had fractured his spine. And then we had a really huge court date for our children. So just it was busy in my mind and things. So if I am thinking, who is God? It was helpful to talk to Josh about God being eternal, like before time. He exists outside of time. There's also another conversation that got a little deep for me, but he's outside of time. So for me to meditate on that truth and be like, it's like looking at everything's wrapped up. It's all wrapped up. All those promises that he says are going to come, it's all like wrapped up for a God who's outside of time, but we're just in his story journeying through. So that gave me comfort. That was a truth about God. But choose a truth that you're going to think on until it gets where you just are like, wow, thank you, Lord. That's going to help you become more in communion with the Lord and have more of a praying life. You could also, if you're doing like a read through the Bible plan, you could choose, I don't know, I like to choose a color that goes with the word, so purple highlighter, because it starts with P and so does prayer. But as you're reading through the Bible, to highlight wherever you're seeing prayer happening in the Bible could encourage you. And another thing you could do is you really can just find one attribute of God that you want to study for a month or a year, because it is just never ending, to encourage your heart. But we want God at the center, and we can say, yes, I know I can be like, yes, I want God at the center, and we know a lot of doctrine, and we know a lot of truth, and we hear a lot of truth. And then yet I can be like, why am I always not, I don't always think to pray. And we want to continue growing in our prayer life until we are in his presence. We want to keep calling our hearts back every morning and sometimes throughout the day, that to put God at the center of our lives, to put God at the center of every moment. And for that to matter, we have to know him. And like Paul Miller is saying, it's not just this duty to check off, but it's about a person. And we want to know this person. The more we know him, the more we love him. The more we're going to think about him, the more we're going to talk to him. So that is what our year looks like, and we just want to enjoy it together. So we're going to have fun devotionals. We're going to hear testimonies of how ladies have grown in this, and we're going to talk about how practically to put things into practice so that we can actually think about it, because our minds are so busy to pray and to think about our God. So that's just an introduction, and I hope encouraging, and I hope something... Yeah, to give you something to think about now as we go out through this next month until we come back again together. But let me pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you just even now, thinking we're coming before your throne, and at this very moment you are hearing. Jesus is interceding. The Holy Spirit is giving strength. And we can just say, why me? Lord, keep us humble. Lord, we pray that we wouldn't be a proud people that think we have this, that we don't need you. We need you, Thank you for revealing yourself to us in Scripture. Thank you for giving us examples of what it looks like to have a praying life, to be in communion with you, and we want to be ladies that do that. All for your glory. We know, Lord, it only will come from us getting to know you more, to love you more, what you've done for us, what you're going to do for us. Thank you for each of these ladies, and I pray that you would grow us greatly in this area this year. We pray in your name. Amen.